We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station. Ozzie Guillen,
the captain on the boat.
Former White Sox manager.
I mean, I don't know how much payment I watch.
Can I go to watch the All-Star game? Hell no.
Talking the latest around Major League Baseball. Ozzie Guillen.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is always fun to talk to our guy, Ozzie Guillen. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Ozzie, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Ozzie.
How you guys doing? I just got shocked. The same way I went to Hawaii, for the first time in my life, I was shocked about the city. Dang, I was shocked this morning about seeing the Dodgers out.
Yeah, oh my. I got to tell you, that is actually both games. You know, the Cardinals yesterday with a 10-run first inning, just the stunning, the shock value of that, and to watch the rest of that game. Then immediately following, you see what happens with Kershaw melting down late and obviously a grand slam in the 10. I mean, that's, you know, we never expected that.
It's funny because baseball, now people start to understand baseball is not about numbers. Baseball is not about we're doing this. They're going to work out. Look at the team of St. Louis Cardinals. The team never hit. The team is bad hitting team. And all of a sudden, from one day to another, they scored 10 runs in one inning. Who's going to figure out?
Yeah, and no home runs, right? I mean, no, that's the killer.
That's the reason I think, you know, I mean, pitching is it help you to win games and don't make less mistakes. Make less mistake on the field, you got a chance. But it was shocked. And now today, you know, I mean, who would have thought, you know, Houston Astros, you got to fight in the fifth game to go to the next level against Tampa Bay Devil Rays. You know, I mean, just kind of crazy stuff.
It's crazy stuff, Ozzie. So if you're Mike Shilton, you're the manager of the Cardinals, and you're sitting there in the first inning yesterday, and before your ace, Jack Flaherty, is throwing a pitch, you have a 10-run cushion. And you know that game one of the NLCS is 2 days away. And you know that you'd like to have your ace as fresh, as rested, and as available as you can in the NLCS. Would you have pitched him 104 pitches? Would you have made a change at that point? How would you have handled that?
No, not really. You know what I mean? That was his day. And as soon as the guy's warming up in the bullpen, he already throw, what, 30 pitches at least? 20, 30 pitches at least to get ready for the game. Mm-hmm. Now he's already, you know, he's already in. I had to get in that game, win that game to go to the next level. And I had my best guys on the mound. I will leave him there because, you know, you always protect yourself. If you take him out, something bad happens. I say, well, you know, you had your best guy, and then you take him out. I'd rather go there and you know, get to the next level than figure out what we're going to do for the next playoff.
All right, Ozzie, so we're looking around the landscape here and we're seeing the job openings, and we know Joe Girardi was in town and flew in, had an 8-hour interview, and then had to fly back out for his TV duties. How legitimate is he as a candidate? Given his experience, is he a better candidate than David Ross, who remains rumored to be number one for that job?
Well, you know me, no matter who's coming in, you got to fit a big shoes to fit. I think Joe Maddon put a stamp on the Cubs organization. Like, you know, I mean, one of the best manager ever went through that organization. I think it's not easy to pick a guy. It's not easy to say, well, this is the man, we're going to need it. I think the front office know who's the guy, but they're going to need it because that, you know what's funny? They talk to the players a lot and they kind of know what the players want. And that's the reason that kind of for us to pick who's the guy you're going to be. Because who you gonna replace Maddon with? You know, I mean, Connie Max. Because it's not easy. But then if you look at the guy, I think Girardi be the guy because the, you know, I mean, what he did in the past, he went through a lot of great situations and bad situations with the Yankees. He control everything. He's a guy like he can really glad the media around him, because he's a media guy now. He was in New York. But, you know, I mean, we never know about what they think about Ross. You know, I mean, Ross think is a new face of the organization. Players seem like they like him in the clubhouse, but they have to be careful with that. I'm a friend of him. I have to be careful with that, because not because you're a friend with the manager, you got to take everything, you know, I mean, with them. And that happened to me in 2004. When I come to manager, I have Magno, then I have Frank, I have Carlos Lee. I had guys play with me or play against me. And it wasn't easy, because all of a sudden they had to look at me a different way. I had to look at them a different way. And it's not easy to handle it.
Our conversation with Ozzie Guillen is brought to you by Elgin Genesis. Visit ElginGenesis.com for more information. So, Ozzie, baseball is crazy. So you never know how front offices are going to respond to disappointments. And the Dodgers won 106 games, and they have wanted to get over the hump, and they can't seem to get over the hump. Do you expect them to make a move with Dave Roberts? If you were Dave Roberts, would you worry about your future?
Wow, that's kind of hard, because, you know me, every time, you know, I don't see that the games this week, you know, you bring this best guy, you know, but when you put the guys in the bullpen, there's a risk when the guy's never been there. And more often, he's a starting pitcher. Really, it's hard for me to say, because the guy have a great, you know, winning combination. But in the meanwhile, it seems like Bobby Cox, you know, every year go to the playoffs, the World Series never get it done. People think about it. People talk about it. And I think that the relation they have with the Dodgers is pretty good. And, you know, right now I think it's too early to talk about, because they got to think it with a fresh hair, a fresh head, think about what we run, and, you know, just don't play the guy. I think a lot of people, the players love to play for him. You have to see the way you look at it. To me, now it's to me, I think stay in the Dodgers organization.
Ozzie, we talked to David Sampson earlier in the week, and obviously he made big news in Chicago when he went on a podcast and talked about Jerry Reinsdorf telling him when he first got into baseball that the best thing is to be in second place, that you throw a carrot in front of the audience, that the home crowd will keep coming out. And I'm just curious, Jack McDowell then came out on Twitter. A lot of people criticized David Sampson for revealing that. And Jack McDowell came out and said, yeah, Jerry said the same thing to me, and I wrote about it a year ago. Check my Twitter timeline. Did he ever say anything like that to you? Do you think that was his philosophy? He said he had no recollection of the conversation, and the White Sox said that that's not part of his philosophy. But what was your experience with that?
Wow, you know me. Oh, my God. This, you know me, that's kind of weird, because whatever you say, you're going to be wrong. It's only two people know the truth. Jack McDowell and David Sampson, they only know the truth, and Jerry. Coming from Davey, I don't think so, because I don't think, you know me, I don't think Jerry Reinsdorf is a big fan of them. I don't want to say him, them. Not because Ozzie Guillen, just because in the past, I think Jerry know what kind of people they was with baseball. But when I read, though I was in Hawaii, when I read that, my son showed me that, I read that from Jack, I was shocked. I was shocked, because I worked for Jerry Reinsdorf. I was 20, 21 years old. And when I was a manager myself, everything we did, it was to win. Everything Kenny Williams was, I said that here in the past. I never have a general manager say, just rebuild, or let's do this, let's change this. Everything was about winning with Kenny Williams. I played for him a long time. And I don't know, the way I was, if Jerry told me just try to finish second, I might kick his butt.
You know, Ozzie.
But I don't believe so. I don't think so. I don't hope so, because I know Jerry. By the way, Jerry is very private, man. Jerry is the type of guy, everything is, not a mystery. But he's making sure nobody find out what they're talking, who they talk, when they talk. And I was with the White Sox for a long time. You know what I mean? Jerry never come up and say something around people. Never. Not with me. Never did. And that was a kind of shock for me. But in the meanwhile, I just told my family, I said, well, you know, I'm bigger than anybody. I said, why? Because Jerry want to finish second. Then I finished first. That means plus. And But it's hard for me to believe that. Even I respect Jack. I do a lot. But Jack said to us what Jerry was saying in that particular moment, then we take care of that.
And a lot of this revolves around the credibility of David Sampson. People either will believe him or he won't. And Ozzie, he's the guy that when he was the president of the Marlins, hired you. He also fired you. So knowing him as you do, how would you describe his credibility?
None at all. Maybe it's the truth, but I know about, you know why? Because when I went to the Marlins, I was the hero. When they fired me over the phone. And I know his philosophy was wrong. I know the way they were handling baseball was wrong. I think the way they did to the players, it was wrong because people thought, you know, I just got fired because of the stupid Fidel thing they say I did. But in the meanwhile, I think I get fired because I finished last. But they not told me why I get fired. Then 2 days later, they trade everyone in baseball. And that was kind of shock because when we was there, excuse me, everything about winning, all this stupid thing, I think they lied to the fans. A lot of time, I think he lied to people, and he was, I don't believe what he said, but now, when you talk about Jack McDowell, then I changed, you know what I mean, I had to change my mind, because I said, wow, you know, Jack played for us, he was my teammate, I know Jack is a very true man, but in the meanwhile, I can't believe Jack either, because I wasn't there, and he never told any of his teammates about that conversation. That's a pretty serious conversation. But it's hard for me to believe. Maybe they did it. Maybe they don't. Only 2-3 people know that was right or wrong. But the way Jerry Reinsdorf handled himself, I'm also going to say Jerry is the best because I went through with Jerry through a lot of fights and a lot of commitment and a lot of, you know what I mean, happiness. But Jerry is a very quiet man. And by the way, don't forget, man. Jerry is a businessman like everybody else does. You know what right. I mean? I hear Tony say he wins 7. I really don't care what he did with the Bulls. I care what he did with the White Sox when I was there. And you know what I mean? I think he was fair enough with me, with the team that we always have.
Ozzie, there's a chance that JD Martinez is going to opt out, and the rumor is that he's coming to the White Sox. You know, it might be a good thing if Jerry wants to prove he wants to win. Hey, spend a ton of money, bring in JD Martinez, bring in a bunch of pitchers. But would he fit with the Sox? Would you like that addition, knowing a guy is going to be right there in the middle of the lineup and supposedly is a really good mentor to some of the younger guys?
Well, you know, I mean, you talk about every team in baseball. They love to have JD Martinez in the middle of the lineup. Well, here's an opportunity to Jerry to show Mr. Sanz and Jack's wrong. I mean, here's the money. Here's what we want to do. Last year they went after Machado. I think they was very short about what Machado was making and what they offer. But, you know, I mean, always when they're going to spend money like that, if you really have chance to say, we're going to get JD Martinez, we're going to be in, I think the White Sox think it the wrong way because I think the White Sox need more than JD Martinez to get to the top. Look at it, they fired the hitting coach. They was lasting a lot of plays. You know, individual, they have a great year. A couple guys have an unbelievable career year. But when you talk about it's a team unit, they not was good enough. You know, they almost finished lasting every particular position in the offensive stats. But I think, yeah, we want to have J.D. Martinez. We're going to look awesome. We're going to look great. But you're going to talk about signing Abreu and Martinez and 2 more pitchers. That's a lot of money to go out there and see what's going on. But I think they need more than J.D. Martinez to get what we want to get.
Sounds great, Ozzie. Thank you a ton. We appreciate it.
Good stuff, Ozzie.
All right, take care, guys. Take care.
That's Ozzie Guillen. Always a joy to talk to him. And,
always interesting.
Yeah, fascinating, really, when you think about all of what he just said there. Really interesting. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Interesting to talk to Ozzy about the whole idea of J.D. Martinez coming in here. And they're not one player away, I get that. They need more than one guy. But I got to tell you, I did get pretty excited as I listened to Chuck's podcast and heard the reporter from
NBC,
Boston.
Yeah, NBC Sports Boston.
Talk about what he could bring to the White Sox. I got a little fired up. Well, and Chuck Garfine does a good job with that, and I really did appreciate it.
It's more than just kind of, you know, tilting at windmills here. I mean, there's a reality that J.D. Martinez is looking at opting out of a contract, the final $60 million in 3 years of his deal, and he's looking at potentially $100 million in free agency. That's a math problem. That's an easy one to solve. So if he is out there and does what everyone expects him to do, then you look at the teams that are eliminated as a designated hitter. He's not going to the National League. So you have a lot of reasons to look at the White Sox. They have a young, up-and-coming team. They have money to spend. And they have a guy that's good in the clubhouse with a needed designated hitter. So, yeah, pursue him. But I think the question becomes, how much are you willing to spend and what does he have to offer?
Well, let's take a listen. Let's listen to John Thomas talking to Chuck Garfine on the White Sox Talk podcast.
I look at a team like Chicago and I say, my God, shouldn't they be spending their money on pitching? Because beyond Giolito, you don't really have much going there. But then you look offensively, and this is what I think could make Chicago an intriguing destination for him and for them. You obviously have that great young core on the left side, you know, with Moncada and Anderson and Jimenez. And those are guys that could benefit from J.D. Martinez. When he arrived with the Red Sox, one of the first things he did was he took Mookie Betts under his wing. He took Xander Bogaerts under his wing. And he's a guy who is one of those sort of old school, I will talk to you about hitting. I have a million ideas about hitting. And that is all we will talk about. And that was exactly what those guys I mentioned before is exactly what they needed.
And you know, it's interesting because he talks, you know, as he goes on, he talked about hard contact and, you know, instead of hitting ground balls, if you lift the ball up and, you know, different things that happened for Mookie Betts, who, you know, again, it just was on the verge of an MVP season before J.D. Martinez came in. And he talks about the left side of the White Sox of their lineup, you know, specifically Yoan Moncada and Tim Anderson and Aloy, and how all of them could benefit from a guy like J.D. Martinez, a bilingual hitting instructor slash hitter who has all sorts of ideas on how to help other guys and is not afraid to talk hitting with anybody anytime, anywhere.
Well, yeah, they need a hitting coach too, but I don't think you're bringing him here for that. But
I agree. I'm just saying.
It's a benefit, and that was from John Tomasi, who's been around J.D. Martinez and knows what kind of guy he is in the clubhouse. But beyond all the intangibles, you're talking about a guy that has, I think, 79 home runs over the last two seasons with a 985 OPS. This is a threat in the middle of your order. So as a Sox fan, what are you willing to pay? How high? And do you
well,
think
he's got 3 years at $60 million left.
So he wants probably four for 100,
so,
right?
Well, or maybe three for 75. That seems like a reasonable amount, right? How old is he? He's old.
Yeah.
So you'd have to take that into account. I don't know that I want four or five years.
He is 32.
You're not.
So he's, you know, you can get 3 years. Three, 4 years.
Yeah.
You're probably going to at least four. He's not going to opt out of the security of his deal in Boston, a team that's going to contend every year, unless he's going to have more years in security down the road.
Half the teams in Major League Baseball wouldn't want him because supposedly if he plays 2 days in a row in the outfield, his back goes on him. He's got 1 day, can't play two. And doesn't really want to play in the outfield, and you don't really want him in the outfield. You want him as a designated hitter. So as a designated hitter, he's going to help you a ton. He's going to be a stable influence in the middle of the lineup. You know exactly what you're going to get from him. He could be the White Sox kind of Nelson Cruz,
okay,
right?
Fair enough.
And you go out and you get a guy like that, and he's worth whatever you got to pay for him to lock him into that position.
So you're sitting in a room, and Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn and whoever else is in it, maybe Jerry too. Hi, Jerry. How you doing?
Jerry really stepped up.
And the designated hitter question is, that's where he fits.
Yeah.
What about Jose Abreu? What about Andrew Vaughn? What about Zach Collins?
These are guys. Andrew Vaughn's not next year, okay? He's a year down the road. You keep Abreu for another year, okay? Maybe, you know, give Abreu a couple years, whatever you have to do to keep him. And he can play first base, and he can DH and give this guy a break. There's 162 games in the season, right? So you got Abreu's bat. You got another big-time major league bat to go with all of these young players who you believe are developing. Again, Andrew Vaughn is not there yet. I mean, are we really talking about that, or are we saying, hey, Jake Berger has to play?
I was going to say
I know you're going there.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, then I don't need to go there.
You're obsessed with him.
When you go, I'm obsessed with who?
Jake Berger.
No, I'm not obsessed with Jake Berger.
I know.
When you're paying for a designated hitter like J.D. Martinez, he's 32, you wonder at what point does he start to decline. And I don't know that, you know, I like the idea of having him in the middle of the Sox order. I don't know if it's $100 million plus, because you do have a finite budget and you do have, you know, other free agents that are going to appeal to you. I do, you know, you start to talk about, we don't have to mention Abreu because I think that's a different probably conversation, but Nick Castellanos is going to be on the market. You have other guys who you might want to pursue who would, you know, cost you in the same ballpark and neighborhood as Martinez. So I don't know. It sounds good, and I would love it if it happens because of all the intangibles, but I don't know that it's a foregone conclusion.
I would love it not because of intangibles, but because of production.
Because of tangibles.
And I think the tangibles are there with this guy. And again, a professional hitter, a guy who you know exactly what you're getting, and that's gonna help stabilize everybody around him in the lineup. The intangibles are a nice added addition, and it's fun to hear about, but that really has nothing to do with his value to the White Sox. See, this guy is, you know, this guy went to Boston and won a World Series, right? I mean, he is a hell of a baseball player and a great hitter, and you add him to what you have already. They need more professional hitters. They need more players that know what the hell they're doing. I'm with you. You know, we had a caller earlier who said to get rid of Quintana. Boy, I would love to see that happen. Because in a heartbeat, I would take Quintana on the south side.
Sign him back up.
Oh, my God. In a heartbeat. And he would be a very steady, stabilizing force, innings eater, and allow those young guys. So that's what you
need. That wasn't a very good call.
No,
it was a terrible call.
I know. But I'm just, my point is, that's what you need. You need, obviously, the Sox would love to have Gerrit Cole, right? But the whole free world would. And I don't think they're going to have the money to do that. But if you pick up a guy that can eat innings, that can help you, that can stabilize the back end, and then try to get another guy that maybe can win more than you thought, that would be a huge addition.
Zach Wheeler's going to be out there, right, Kevin?
Zach Wheeler is somebody I think the White Sox will definitely consider heavily. As far as Quintana, you know, the Cubs aren't going to let him go. They need somebody to pitch.
That was ridiculous.
I mean, Cubs fans are always going to be harsher on Quintana because of what was given up and maybe the expectations that were put upon him, but for the money that he's making and the innings that he does eat, you know, he's not going anywhere. He's going to be on the north side again. David, your point about Martinez defensively, I think it is important to bring up, and you do bring up a good point with a little bit of maybe a log jam DH first base with Collins, Abreu, Martinez.
You're collecting DHs.
You are, but, you know, you need a DH that can hit, and they don't have one of those quite yet. I think if you want to platoon Abreu and Collins at first base next year, that could be something you could do. Spelling them occasionally with the DH start every now and then if you want to rest Martinez too. It's a good problem to have.
It is.
Adding more good hitters is a good problem.
No doubt. You also would be eliminating Aloy from the equation if you decide to go that route. He's not going to be a DH if you have J.D. Martinez.
You're not eliminating anyone. You're just giving yourself more options.
Again, you get the good hitters in first, and then you sort it all out later because they don't have enough good hitters as it is right now.
Right.
That's a good problem to have down the line.
I mean, everyone's talking about, well, the Sox won't be after Rendon because they've got Moncada and you don't want to move him. Bring them all in and then figure it out. Bring them all in, get everybody you can get that can play, and then figure out where they belong and they can fight their butts off to be the guy that gets the opportunity.
Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network college football analyst, NCAA. Ollie and Haw
Chicago's college football expert.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Jerry DiNardo joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Morning, Jerry.
I'm doing great. Good morning.
Well, Michigan got a big win over Iowa, 10-3. Is that a big win? I mean, they needed to win the game. They got the win. And, you know, we were talking about poor Jim Harbaugh. Boy, he's going to be run out. He's not. He doesn't want to be staying at his alma mater. And by the end of that game, you were wondering what's wrong with Iowa.
Yeah, no doubt. But good win. You know, as you study the tape, a little bit of caution. You know, they've done a good job on defense defending pro-style attacks, although they didn't against Wisconsin. So that's improvement. But defensively, until they can stop a good explosive spread, we really don't know how many strides they made defensively. Because I think they needed to do some work during the offseason about maybe tweaking some of their concepts. Offensively, they have to become more explosive, as we know. It's just taking more time than we all thought it would. So, yes, big win. But with a word of caution, if expectations are championship, there's still a bit of ways.
Jerry, I love the Urban analysis with Urban Meyer on the Big Ten Network. You guys break down tape. And this week you're looking at the Michigan defense, as you mentioned, and it is very good, had a strong game against Iowa. You look at the Wisconsin defense, and I think that is, you know, it's just as every bit as stout. And you wonder, who's got the best defense in the Big Ten?
Well, you know, we might not know until they all play Ohio State. I mean, they have the most explosive offense. The championship model right now is what Ohio State's doing. They're explosive on offense. They're kind of evolving back to zone coverage. I mean, that's state-of-the-art X's and O's in Columbus. So until we match all these teams up and Wisconsin plays Ohio State, you know, we're not really going to know who has the best defense, because the schedules are so different. The offenses are a little bit different. So, you know, David, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like Ohio State's head and shoulders above everybody. Let's see if they can close the gap when they play.
You know, I thought Michigan State played Ohio State pretty well. I watched that game, and then by the end of it, it's 34-10. You're kind of like, wow, Michigan State's defense isn't that good. Now Michigan State, they drop out of the top 25, and they're at Wisconsin. Wisconsin, of course, eighth in the country. How difficult is that challenge from one week to the next?
It's significant, because Wisconsin will pressure the Michigan State offense. And remember, this is a new offense, so they're going through some growing pains as a staff. You make a mistake on one Saturday, you fix it during the week. Then a new mistake comes up that you didn't anticipate because you're in a new scheme. So this is difficult for Michigan State. The most difficult thing about going against Wisconsin's defense is at times they only have two down linemen. You never know which linebackers are going to rush, which are going to drop on both run and pass. So it's a difficult scheme to get ready for. I would imagine Michigan State will have all they can handle from a coaching standpoint and an adjustment standpoint against Wisconsin, because everybody does. But, Molly, you bring up it looked like a close game against Michigan State, Ohio State. That's what this spread does. Steve Spurrier used to do this even before anybody was running the spread. When we were at LSU, you had to stop the spurts. They messed around, and then three, four touchdowns, right, rat-a-tat-tat. And that's the way college football is being played right now offensively.
You know, Northwestern, they lose a close one in Nebraska. That was a pretty tight game, Jerry. And I was surprised that Fitz went with Aiden Smith rather than Hunter Johnson at quarterback. I know the injury was part of it. Was that the only part of it? Did he play because he was injured, or because that they thought that Aiden Smith gave Northwestern a better chance to win?
You know, David, I don't know. You know, Fitz is really, really close to the vest with what he communicates to the public, and he has every right to do it. But, you know, it's tough to really get a handle, and I know why he does it. He doesn't really have to give us a reason. He's allowed to run his program any way he wants. Again, you guys, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. You know, I just thought the offense looked better early in the season, and I'm surprised they're struggling this much, and especially at the quarterback position. I thought they were going to improve, but
I don't know what, you know, why he's doing what he's doing at quarterback, and I don't think we'll really ever find out.
Penn State, now 5-0, ranked 10th in the country, and they're set to take on number 17, Iowa. It's a primetime game. It's on ABC. Everyone's pumped up about it, and somehow this story is now about the junior safety, Jonathan Sutherland, who got a letter from a member of the alumni criticizing his dreadlocks. Come on.
You know, Mully, the only disappointment I have in this thing is that we're giving this person this much attention. I mean, we know people feel that way, right? I mean, we all live in the same country. And to give that kind of thing attention, I mean, I think James did the right thing. I appreciate what he did. But this just, I think, fuels the fire. We're living in a time when things seem to be more acceptable than they ever were to share some of these ideas. And, you know, I don't, you know, we're all disappointed, I think, and it's just, maybe it's an opportunity for us all to stand up. But, I mean, it seems like there's so many lines being crossed nowadays in this country that just, it's a free-for-all. And I don't, you know, to me, you know, what the heck are our young people learning? And where they're looking at adults act in a manner where, you know, not too many years ago, we didn't see adults acting like this. But when people can act like this, that holds high places in our society, I'm guessing the young people think that they can do it and anyone else thinks that they can do it. Kind of a sad state of affairs.
Amen. Jerry, last weekend you were in Minneapolis and you talked to P.J. Fleck, and boy, the Gophers are 5-0. How are they 5-0?
Well, he's got them playing really well. I mean, the matchups have been good, David. I mean, you know, they have done what everyone who's building a program has to do. They're beating the teams that they match up with. In other words, when the coaches switch sidelines, it really makes a difference, right? Ryan Day can switch sidelines with Chris Ash before he was fired, and Ohio State's still going to win the game. Okay, coaching is irrelevant. Coaching is relevant when PJ has beaten these five teams. And so they've outplayed, they've outcoached, they've out-schemed, they've out-motivated. He is crazy as crazy can be, but I got to tell you, the kids love him. I was at practice Friday. It was as well-run practice as I've ever seen. He's just a different guy. And the most interesting thing about this, David, Howard and I were out Friday night making friends for the network like we usually do. And we ran into some people. We ran into some people, and we started talking about PJ. And, you know, they said, man, he's really different. And, you know, they like that he's winning, but, you know, they don't really buy into what he's doing. And I made the comment, you know, be careful what you say. I mean, this guy could, you know, he could move on. And he's the best thing for Minnesota. I mean, I think he gives us a better future than I think Jerry Kill did or Tracy Clay. That's my own personal opinion. The interesting thing, what I'm getting to, is they said, you know what, I don't know that anybody else would take him that has, I don't know that a better job in Minnesota would accept what he does. So it was interesting that they felt secure that even if he won all his games, he's always going to be at Minnesota because not everybody's going to buy that kind of coach. I thought it was a really interesting point.
It was interesting. I don't know if I agree with that, Jerry. I think that he has a lot that a lot of athletic directors might like. It's not for everybody, but it might be for the right program that needs a boost.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree. I just but it's got to be what you would consider a better job than Minnesota. And
yeah.
You know, the row, the boat, all the things that he does that are so different. Now the kids like it, but again, you walk through the facility. You know, it's not as much about the University of Minnesota as it is about his culture that was also at Western Michigan. So
right. It's
not like somebody comes in and just changes uniforms. They change a lot more than the uniforms. It'll be an interesting watch to see what happens.
They destroyed Illinois, and Illinois, I thought, looked okay against Nebraska, and then Minnesota just thumped them. Now Michigan goes in there. Where are we at with Lovie's program and where they're at this point?
Yeah, I think this, when you're in this situation like Lovie's in and Michigan's coming in, I think you've got to calculate, you know, what you're going to invest in this game. Again, I go back to PJ. PJ has won all his matchup games. There's a strategy to who you're playing, how you coach, how hard you work a team, how much you put in. And when you're significantly outmanned, you have to make a decision. Who am I playing after Michigan? What am I going to invest into this game? Not that you're giving up, not that you don't think you can win, but there is a strategy that is bigger than just this game against Michigan if I'm Illinois. So I'd look at the rest of my schedule. It would tell me how hard I would practice, how long I would practice, how complicated the game plan was. Because if there's matchup opponents after the Michigan game, I put that into my thinking as I'm getting ready for Michigan.
All righty, Jerry. Great stuff. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right, guys. See ya.
That is Jerry DiNardo, our Big Ten college football analyst.
He's right about PJ Fleck. I can't get that out of my head because he has made such an impression in Minneapolis on that campus, just like he did at Western Michigan. No, but he's not for everybody.
It's the same. I don't call it a tired act, but it is the same act. The whole row the boat. I mean, it really is. I think it works in college football. But what he's saying basically is, would that play at Alabama? Would that play at Clemson? That's kind of what we're talking about.
He's
here,
saying
right?
The power of his personality is stronger than the program he wants to instill because it's more about him than it is about the place. And that's not going to sit well with every athletic director.
How about Illinois? What you invest in a game like that? That is that's a very telling comment.
Illinois sad. It's a sad situation.
They gotta try to get through this game because they probably can't win it. You want to make sure it doesn't cost you the game after. That's basically what Jerry's saying.
Or the rest of the season.
Exactly.
When do they win again?
All right. We will be right back. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.